And I'm Sky Gubby. Welcome to another episode of Medicinal Foods Radio, where we take back our power and bring to you the cutting edge of health and wellness with the ancient future of food. My guest today is Madhava Ananda, a man after my own heart, bringing to us the ancient knowledge of Shilaji, the conqueror of mountains and destroyer of all evils. So it doesn't get any more ancient than that. And we are here at Bhakti Fest sharing medicinal foods with the people. And we're putting shots of this Shilaji into their living greens, tonic herbs, cacao elixir, and our new Better Than Coffee product, which is roasted chicory, barley, rye, and dandelion, all gluten-free because it's extracted, with chaga, reishi, and maca boost added. So we're having a lot of great experience with the customers enjoying this. Why is it better than coffee? Because it's not acidic and you don't have the caffeine, but you still have a boost. So personally, I can't do caffeine. I can do a little mate, but for some reason, you know, coffee works with some people. With me, I just feel like crap the next day. So better than coffee, look out for it. And so this is definitely not your typical Ayurvedic herb. It's actually a mineral pitch that oozes out of the ground in the Himalayas. So Madhava is here to talk to us about this. People have told me for a long time I should connect with this brother. And now I see why, because he is definitely a source of a lot of knowledge and wisdom. And without further ado, Madhava, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So this is a man who is amazing at formulating elixirs as well, has been doing it for over the last 20 years or so. And he was one of the original creators, the original creator of a raw bar.
First one in the market with Govinda's Raw Power Food, and done a lot of consulting for other companies since.
Yeah. Okay, well, great. I'm excited to get into some of this content. We deal with Chinese herbal medicine, Ayurvedic herbs. You know, this show is about taking back our power when it comes to usually these big corporations who want to control our food and medicine. And, you know, there's a certain amount of sovereignty that comes with empowering yourself to be able to heal. And I think we're going to get into some really juicy content.
It's very interesting. When you were giving the intro, I was thinking about a little high school term paper I wrote. I went to a Quaker school, so I was allowed a lot of freedom. And it was called The Robbing of the Banks. And it was making an analogy between the taking the minerals out of the economy, the gold standard, gold-based currency, and the minerals out of the soil. When people are lacking minerals in their soil, they lose their connectivity, their intelligence, they get depleted, and same things happen with our financial system. So it's this correlation of humans having been robbed of their essential nutrients and their minerals, taking their power back. So it's definitely a theme.
It seems like there's definitely some agendas out there that want to kind of suck us people dry of our health and our wealth. And so, you know, we're going to talk about Shilaji. Now, this is something that I have always been excited about, because the concept of this black mineral pitch oozing out of the ground in the Himalayas and it having all the essential minerals and nutrients we need, it's been great, but I know there's different quality varieties and stuff like that. Give us a background of Shilaji and what it can do for us.
Well, Shilaji is found in many places all over the world, such as in Siberia and the Himalayas, even in Bhutan and places in Pakistan. The actual making of Shilaji is an ancient process where plant matter is broken down through the cracks, crevices up in the high mountains, and over time it churns and ferments and transforms into this sticky black substance. They need to do some form of purification to remove any excess heavy metals. Ayurveda has had their own traditional methods the company I work with, they use a cold processing, so it's still considered a raw product, and it has a superior taste to many in the market. Many of them have a cow dung like flavor, and so it's useless to have great medicine if people aren't going to take it. So
now we've heard of dirt eaters. Is this the concept that people are crave real minerals, and there's actually people and tribes that eat dirt? And is this, would you equate this with those types of people?
Well, there is something to it, and you know, I don't just go eating handfuls of dirt. There's different soil-borne organisms and certain illnesses that people have when everything is too sanitary and too sterile. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about the Hawaiian poi, I think, and how because they use their whole
Poi pounder.
It makes it so it's not like the same as if you were to do it in like a sterilized kitchen. So there's a certain fear of bacteria, even though we know about Louis Pasteur and his deathbed, he was saying it's all about your internal environment, not just the world's out there to get you. So it's really our own responsibility. Some of the times if our immunity feels a little weak, yeah, we have to be more conscious of that. But some of the times people just get so antiseptic hand wash, everything has to be so overkill sterilized, and our whole culture is always off on killing stuff instead of promoting the good.
Well, that's right. There's definitely people who... the idea that we have an environment that if the environment is conducive to infection, it's going to happen. But if our environment is strong and we have a healthy bioterrain, mm-hmm. then we're going to be more invincible. So they call Shilajit the conqueror of mountains and destroyer of all evils. That's a pretty powerful statement. Why is that?
It is. It's well, the history behind it is very interesting because, of course, just like in all Indian stories, it's told a little different ways by different people. But either the villagers or maybe the rishis, the doctors, they observed that a certain type of monkey would walk like from miles around, it wasn't from that area, to go and take the Shilajit off the rocks. And so they were observing it and realizing, wow, this monkey looks really strong, virile, vital, and healthy, and all the other ones were getting diseased. And they're like, why do these monkeys go so far to get this stuff off the rocks? So over time, they, you know, found that it has all these properties. Shilajit is known for its fulvic acid, but there's a lot of, there's a lot of hype around nutritional supplements. You find something good about it, and then you just forget about everything else. Just give me the actives. And this really isn't holistic herbalism. This isn't how indigenous people do it. There's a lot of times cofactors about certain nutrients that need to be, that nature provides it in a wholesome way, and then we go and standardize things too much, and we lose some of the holistic value of it. So fulvic acid is one of the many things in Shilajit. It's really a master nutrient that any gardener is going to be using, fulvic and humic acids, for the terrain of the soil, same as in our bodies. There's also properties in Shilajit which are really rare called diabenza alpha pyrones. It took me a while to say, but those are a catalyst. Those have a catalyst property. So with that, it means that in Ayurveda, they found that if they add a small amount of Shilajit to an anti-inflammatory formula, to a brain tonic, to an aphrodisiac, to an antioxidant, whatever formula they create with different herbs, if they add even just a small amount of Shilajit, it will activate all the qualities of the herbs. Kind of like someone you invite to a party that just loves to dance and they get the whole party going. You know, you invite them and the party will go off soon because they just really give some juice to it. So Shilajit is one of those things.
They got the diabenzo alpha pyrene.
Yeah.
So, what is humic and fulvic acid?
Humic and fulvic acid are the compounds within the soil and within nature that help our cellular respiration, rejuvenation. It's found in many, many things, but the content in Shilajit can be, it can be some of the times 4%. They go up to like 50%, but some of the times that is ones that can be a little sketchy.
So it acts as a catalyst. It's good to boost everything else, and that's why you mix it in with, you know, we're here at Bhakti Fest, mm-hmm. and we're doing elixirs at the Medicinal Foods Elixir Bar there, and I noticed you're putting the Shilajit in different boosts for people. So you think it's just enhancing the overall effect?
Yeah, and here's the thing. This is like kind of the history of how I got into this. I started a a herbal chai company in around 1999 that I named Maca Java Chai. Later on, I worked with Golden Lotus Botanicals, and we expanded to Shakti Chai and Mocha Maca Java Chai. And the whole theme behind that was recognizing that many people need a certain amount of a stimulant with some caffeine. And at the same time, there's all of these drawbacks to caffeine. It kind of is a double-edged sword. So I created this formula with maca root and some yerba mate extract and a well-balanced blend of chai spices, and people just loved it. And then we started to expand the adaptogen herbal tonic with all different other things like you use, like the reishi, ashwagandha, and macuna. And so we found that people, when they drank this, they had a well-balanced buzz. It wasn't like stimulating and jittery, but by the time the caffeine wore off from a little yerba mate, all the tonic herbs provided the steady energy. So over time, I've been working with doing chai that has some stimulants and then one without, but being able to see, okay, how to give people like a drink experience where they don't feel a crash, where they feel the power of the tonic herb sustaining them, even if they know whether just psychologically or physically they need a little bit of a stimulant, being able to provide the most steady energy for people.
So we're doing this Better Than Coffee debut of this product that has chaga, reishi, and maca, along with roasted extracts of dandelion, chicory, barley, rye, and beet. And it tastes like coffee, but it's better because it doesn't have the it doesn't have the caffeine and it doesn't have the acidic effect, but you still get a boost from it. We're noticing when we mix in your shilajit, it gives it this kind of smoky, real rich kind of coffee flavor, even more so. And you know, it tastes really good, and I think that's a big problem people have had with shilajit in the past, is it kind of tastes really bad.
It's just a...
My daughter loves to eat it straight, so,
It's very unique, because there's a lot of shilajit that has given it a bad name. Many Ayurvedic doctors will tell you to stay away from it. So here's what it comes down to, is when you have something that looks and smells and tastes a lot like dirt, it could be. So what you want with a shilajit product, and I'm not just going to push mine, I've worked for Pure Black for a couple years, and I at the same time will say that if there's a good quality shilajit there, I will give it my pranams and be grateful for people producing a quality product. However, there are very few that will go FDA certification, that will get extensive testing done to be sure there's no excessive amounts of heavy metals, of any pathogens. And these are the things that when people come back from India, they go, yeah, I got this stuff from a Baba up there in the Himalayas. And it's like, well, is it tested? It's like, you know.
Well, this stuff is like black, it's gooey, it's like, it seems like the real deal. So we can, share later where people can get that. But is there anything else you want to say about shilajit before we move on?
Basically, the shilajit gave me an experience of fully focused, grounded energy without a stimulant. And I had a period of time. Now I do a little here and there, but I went through a period of time where my body was ultra sensitive to stimulants, and I really tested the shilajit at a lot of festivals and events like this, and I was amazed at how much I was able to perform, get by in less sleep, less food, and still be really grounded and focused. And it's really like the million-year-old minerals. There's some ancient mana to it. I go back between utilizing the science and also understanding some of the alchemical traditions of Ayurveda and Chinese medicine that understands qi and prana and energy that isn't always explainable by our Western terminology.
All right, Madhava, well, let's get into some of the other aspects of the health and wellness that you like to share. What are some other things the average person can do to feel grounded in their body and have energy? And I know you have a wealth of knowledge to share, so I want to get the gems out to people.
All righty. Well, when I talk with people that feel like they're not in their in their fullness, I usually ask, do you take any time in your day to be barefoot on the grass? Earthing is really one of the most essential practices, I think, in this day and age, because of how hooked up we are to technology, whether our own addiction to Facebook or just texting people all the time, or the business that we have to do and utilize our phone computers. When we actually disconnect from that and just plug in to the Earth's frequency band, we actually get our nervous system reset. We can breathe and connect to the planet without all of our devices and our stimulated nervous system. And so I really recommend, and there's actually a special window of opportunity. In Chinese medicine, there's different times of the day where different organs systems are stimulated. And so if it's possible from any time from 4 to 6 p.m. to lie, you can lie on a mat or a cloth with your low back on the earth, your low back, your kidney adrenals can directly receive that prana, that life force from the earth at that time. Even just a 15-20 minute rest like that can totally restore your energy so you have vital quality energy for the rest of the day.
Well, I noticed you said receive the prana, receive the energy, and you know, I just took my sandals off and I'm feeling the cool earth, even though it's a really hot day. I'm feeling kind of tingly underneath my feet. I know a cardiologist has gone out of his practice and into just to focusing on grounding and the incredible benefits for blood pressure and the heart. And there's a lot of great research that's been done. But what's actually happening, as I understand it, the hydrogen ions from the earth are going up into us. It's not like we're just discharging the EMFs from our cell phones, which also happens. You can be all EMF'd out from working on the computer, Wi-Fi, and cell phone, and you can just be barefoot on the earth, and actually all that frequency change in the brain goes away.
Yeah.
So that's pretty amazing. But with the hydrogen that's going up into us, it's actually in the dark field microscopy, it's showing the blood cells opening up, flowing like wine instead of ketchup, which can definitely help the blood pressure in the brain. So I'm really glad you reminded us all to be barefoot, especially if we can be barefoot on moist soil or like sand by the beach, right?
That's so it's healthy. Really interesting because we really need, our minds need at least, this scientific validation for going to spend quiet time in nature. We need to be able to have prescriptions for that, so to speak, from natural health therapists, because otherwise we seem to forget. We have so many things to do, most people in their modern lives, that unless we can really understand this is essential for my health, just like taking my Shilajit or my green drink, that actually quieting my mind in nature is one of the most free and accessible things that it's actually not accessible. A lot of places in the world, we don't have that opportunity. Many places in the States, we have the opportunity to have a park, a little nature spot we can go to be able to quiet our mind and, you know, distill all the different thoughts and stimulation and relationships and just come back to our center. So it's a real, the simplest things we can do a lot of times are the greatest teachers.
Yeah, we just drove down the 395 with the crew for the medicinal foods booth here at Bhakti Fest in Joshua Tree on the Eastern Sierras. And we take for granted these spots we can find where we pulled over instead of at a campground for our big RVs. We found this little camp spot that had a creek that had fresh water that had just melted up in the mountains from the snow, and putting our feet in there, being able to wash and submerge ourselves in that ice cold water and just sit in nature and be tranquil, you know, it's a rare thing. So I encourage all our listeners out there to find a place in nature. I want to give a shout out to this listeners of Wolf Spirit Radio, awakeradio.us, and American Freedom Radio. And yeah, you guys, let's find that solitude in nature. You know where to go, and you know, let's make that happen for our inner peace. Just sitting, breathing, focusing on one spot, maybe in the tree, watching all the energy kind of start to swirl around you. Single-pointed meditation is probably one of the most powerful ways, either just focusing on a mantra or our breath. One of the most amazing ways we can come into peace, transform ourselves, and transform the world.
Yeah. So just wanted to add another couple things about what I do and what my family background is. My dad was an herbalist, came from a family of like very well-respected doctors, and it was kind of a controversial for him to not go to medical school and to study African and Indian herbalism, and I took on that path as well. He also taught me some astrology, and so one of the things that people are unfamiliar with, how there's a relation between the sciences of Ayurveda, Chinese medicine, and astrology. They're all tools that we can utilize to personalize our diet and lifestyle. And this is just something I wanted to put out, because when I talk with people a lot, I see that there's so much information we get from blogs, from online, from all different sources, from like mainstream media, and people get very confused and they get sold stuff that they don't use, that doesn't feel right. And one of the things about astrology or a good Ayurvedic or Chinese doctor is they can personalize things for us. I find that just knowing our prakriti, which is the word for nature in Ayurveda, is really helpful for us understanding whether it's just some of the vata, pitta, kapha, the earthier, fiery, or air and ether constitutional matrices that we have within our physical body, understanding how to balance these things, understanding that maybe a person with a beautiful body that we might think we can get by eating or doing their same workout isn't really for us. There's a lot of things where we have to personalize our lifestyle choices based on what we're born with, and harmonize and balance that instead of wanting what other people have that we don't. And this
like,
is one of the,
like, for example, if you have a kapha dosha body type, when you're thicker, heavier mm-hmm. set, it's more natural for you to be bigger boned and mm-hmm. thicker, and you don't want to try to be something that's not
exactly
your prakriti.
Yeah, you starve yourself trying to get to a certain external form, and then you find that you're not healthy, your whole hormones are out of balance, and these are the things that people go through so much diets and different struggles with food because they're not being able to work with what they have. There's a beautiful saying in Bhagavad Gita that says, it's better to do your own dharma and fail in the eyes of the world than to do someone else's. Because we all have, and dharma is an interesting word, we all have our own nature, and dharma is the nature of water being wet and fluid, and ice is like the nature of water when it has artificial imposition of excessive cold. So a lot of us, we have too many influences that stimulate our minds where we don't get that, we don't listen to that voice inside that can direct us from within. So a lot of people, we need that nature time. So then when we have choices going to buying food, medicines, we can actually feel that gut guidance of like, wow, I feel drawn to this. This feels like really right for me. Or this, I might be allergic to this. This doesn't feel right. So the more that we have that nature time, that meditation, our own pranic energy being open, the more that we naturally attract connecting with people, with products, and with healthy relationships that will benefit our lives.
And you're talking about knowing thyself, which is a lifelong mission, as Rumi said, who am I and what am I supposed to be doing? It's the only question that is worth asking and that will never be answered because it's always transforming. So I know for myself, I have always loved sharing amazing things, whether it was an animal on the side of the road. I'd get more joy out of letting someone else see that mm-hmm. animal than myself. So I had to take a lot of that self-love and give it back to myself and know that as far as my healing path, I had to turn a lot of that over to these gifts coming through being for me and take my own guidance, my own inspiration. And now I know I'm in my dharma when I am sharing incredible information like this or putting amazing food in people's mouths and talking to them about it, because that's what really inspires me. So, you know, as far as other people being able to be more in their essence and their prakriti and knowing themselves, that's really it. Just the feeling, like feeling, you know, what inspires you and what you're really here to do.
Exactly. One thing I just wanted to add with the astrological awareness of this time period, I do a lot of sometimes formal, you know, speeches on astrological occurrences, as well as just informal sharing with people when there's a collective time period where the collective is going through certain changes and adjustments, being able to give people some insights that can be supportive of that.
I know we're going through a lot of stuff right now.
It takes a while to explain, so I'll just go with this kind of the cream of the cream.
Okay, and we have some time, so, you know, I want to save some of that towards the end, but Can we give our listeners a little bit more about of things they can do for their health and well-being, since you know, we're focused on from this Ayurvedic standpoint as far as knowing themselves. Mm-hmm. How do they find out what body type they are and how to balance the different body types?
Okay, in Ayurveda, there's three primary constitutions. The Vata constitution, which is air and ether. They have a thinner body type, very active mind, and they need the most grounding and nourishment and support. And they get away with more fatty and sweet foods than some of the other constitutions, the other two. And they need to be receiving oil massage, nourishment, because they have a quality that sometimes just like stimulants or fasting or lots of movement, and they need the most settling.
Yeah, now I am Vata, and I have some Pitta I've developed, mm-hmm. you know, over the years. We are all the doshas, but I know that hard work on the land, grounding myself out is really important. Eating regularly, if I stop eating, I start to kind of floating away. I need to eat, you know, grounded foods, and I like... I live on a tropical fruit tree farm, so I love to have the sweet lychees and longans and the durian, the fatty sweet, you know, foods. Keeping the fat and the sweet are usually away from each other. I save that for eating chocolate. But we want the sugars to go right in the cells, and then fats eaten at least 1 to 3 hours later, so that we're not growing yeast, fungus, and bacterias. So, you know, that's for me, Vata. You mentioned the oil massage, the Abhyanga.
Oh, yeah, the dual.
Explain that to people.
Abhyanga is a synchronized oil massage where two therapists are working on either both arms or both legs at the same time. And so there's actually, it's like, they're like dancers. They're completely in harmony with one another. Mm. And it's really, I've only received them a couple times in Bali.
Well, I've done a lot of self-Abhyanga.
Mm. Yeah.
And you use the cured sesame oil, but you can use coconut oil. And you basically work from your feet up to your heart and from your extremities to your heart. And, you know, the lymph does not move by itself. You have to go ahead and move it. So you do long strokes of massage with a lot of coconut oil, or they traditionally they use cured sesame oil. You bring that up to your, you work from your feet, you bring it up to your knees, and then you work circularly at the joints, and you cover your whole body, long strokes along your bones and then circularly at the joints. And when I used to do this every day and go for bike rides at 6 a.m, I just felt amazing.
Yeah,
because you're moving that lymph along, and you're, it also gives you this like kind of shield of invincibility for the cold. I noticed mm-hmm. too. So that's a
and then
good...
the other part for Vata is the scalp massage, which can be, they have a Vishnu or Brahmi oil that they use for bringing intelligence and clarity, peace of mind.
And then do you leave the oil in? Or
they usually do for a period of time.
And
it's definitely a lot of oil. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's go to the next dosha.
So the Pitta dosha. Pitta doshas are the fire and water. They're very passionate, ruled by Rajagun. They want to get a lot of things done. They're very active achievers, but they overheat sometimes. They're the ones that need the most cooling. They're the ones that could use to have a little spray bottle around them in the summer to be with some mint oil, or eat more cilantro, cooling fruits, lots of coconuts. The Pitta constitution also get irritable if they skip meals, if they... some of the times they're such workaholics, they don't want to take time to eat, and then they start getting a little aggravated.
And it's all connected, the hair color, right?
Mm-hmm,
the eye
yeah.
color, so it's often redheads.
Redheads or blue-eyed people a lot of times can be stronger.
Okay, okay, so what's balancing for Pitta as far as like cucumbers probably?
Cucumbers, coconut, mint,
herbs,
a lot of cooling foods.
Fennel,
yeah,
like
fennel,
that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, cool, and then... Kapha.
And then the Kapha. The Kapha is the earth and water constitution, and they have the most steadiness. A lot of times people, when they hire financial planners or bankers, a lot of the times they want someone bigger who kind of is more slow-moving and steady. They don't always trust the Vata people in the same degree because they move around, they change a lot more. Kaphas are a little more stubborn, a little slower, but they're steady. And they once they anchor onto something, they don't
move.
Hard for
them to change,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah, so it's the problem with Kaphas is they can build up toxins and they get lung congestion. They can have excessive ama, let's say, like mucus forming because of their earth and water constitution. They need more foods that are stimulating, carminative foods. They're the ones that in Ayurveda are allowed, given the pass for stimulants because they...
Well, and also things like, since oils probably aren't so good for them.
Yeah, they have to be more careful with oils.
Things like ginger help probably balance.
Yeah, ginger, turmeric, carminative herbs, cardamom, all of those. And okay. So even just when looking at like formulas in herbalism, we have like a chai blend that might have a bunch of milk in it, but you have the ginger and the clove and the black pepper helps cut the mucus, you know, forming qualities of the milk. And so a lot of these classic Indian foods or Ayurvedic recipes are built in with this Ayurvedic knowledge of why they feel so amazing, and they have a flavor composition that stimulates all the tastes. It's one of the things in Ayurveda is they like to be able to not just have sweet, salty, you know, fiery. They try to get pungent, bitter, astringent. For instance, astringent is a taste that people don't usually get besides like pomegranate, sometimes turmeric. Now turmeric's getting more popular, but there's
herbs like rhodiola and ashwagandha stuff.
Yeah, there's ashwagandha is definitely more in the sweeter side, things like cisandra berries almost all of the taste.
The five flavor fruit. Yeah. Okay, so as we come more into balance with ourselves, and we can find out, you know, our different body types can help, we'll put a link at medicinal-foods.com or where you're listening to this podcast rebroadcast, where you can look up your mind-body type. And do you have a specific site you would recommend, or can people just search for
it? Not offhand, there is definitely a variety.
You could just Google your dosha, like dosha test.
Yeah, right? And they go very personal questions. They ask
D-O-S-H-A, dosha.
They ask all about your relationships, your spending habits. It goes right in all sorts of issues in your life that in order to get a good constitutional balance for a primary and a secondary constitution. And some people are tridoshic, which is, means that they're like equal amounts of each, which are a little bit more rare. But the tridoshic people generally have some of the best health.
You could also go see an Ayurvedic practitioner and get your pulse read, where like Chinese herbal medicine, they read your pulse and acupuncture. There's a different type of pulse reading, but they can pin down pretty quickly what your primary dosha is and what your imbalances are. I learned from Dr. John Duyard how to do pulse diagnostic, and it's really amazing. So, you know, use those tools and definitely come into more balance with it. Yeah. Okay. What's next?
Well, I just wanted to share some things about my background. From my father's side, he studied astrology avidly, and it really gave some tools for understanding. You know, with self-awareness, we can understand that we're a spiritual being, that we're a soul, and that we have... This is called the Mahatattva in Vedanta. It's understanding that we are the soul, and we have our intelligence and our mind, which is like the mind in the Vedanta is more like the emotional center, and the intelligence is more like, you know, our intellectual capacity, and then the ego, the subtle body. And the gross body is made up of the five elements, which in the Vedic system is earth, air, fire, water, and ether, the empty akasha, empty space. And with that, we can see, okay, we have a gross and subtle body. I am not these things, but our Ayurvedic constitution shapes how we, the influences that we have from our birth, our potentialities, and then guides us in how we can harmonize and balance these things. For instance, the pittas, the fire. Pittas crave spicy food a lot. The vatas crave stimulants a lot. And the kapha people sometimes just want to watch TV and eat heavy fatty foods.
So we crave what
excess.
And also what is damages us, like vata is the crispy dried chips and stuff like that. It's the worst thing for vatas, but it's like what we crave.
Yeah. So there's two different cravings. You can tell when you have a craving that is actually a natural one from your body, where you feel all of a sudden at peace and satiated and grounded, versus a craving that you feel your nervous system all stimulated.
You keep chasing?
Yeah, keep chasing the, what is it called, excitotoxins a lot of times in foods, stimulate like MSG. There's many things where it's great for the economy because you put lots of things that stimulate you for more consumption. There's no satiation. You never get to the point of just feeling, I feel good now. I don't need to consume anything.
It's like sugar.
Gateway drug.
Our chocolate is low glycemic, under 20 on the glycemic index, very little sugar, and people love and appreciate that there's not, it's not that sweet. There's a overall worldwide trend towards semi-sweet or dark chocolate, and so you know, that's definitely a sign of the times and where we're at. So maybe now would be a good time to talk about the times right now and what we're going through astrologically. Right now it is the first week in August 2016, so September. Sorry. So what are we doing here in September?
Okay, so I'll just give a little background on the influence of the planets. Each of the planets stimulate different qualities. For instance, Mars stimulates passion. It's the god of war or fire. The moon stimulates our domestic feminine feeling, attachments. The sun is vitality, our soul, our ego. Each of the planets have their own influence. And we have times where there's squares or oppositions and conjunctions, and these are turning points of when it comes to the outer planets or the slower moving planets that show a certain time period of collective lessons that we go through, that even if we all go through in our own way, there's a certain overall experience that people can see, yeah, I relate to that. So this one that's completing tomorrow is a cycle that's been going on since, I guess, the end of last year, and it's a square between two planets that are completely opposite each other, which is Saturn. Saturn is the planet that represents structure, authority, groundedness. It's very serious. It doesn't like to play around. It wants to know what the material qualities are behind something, what the foundational chemical compounds are. It doesn't want the esoteric stuff. And Neptune. Neptune is the exact opposite. It's mostly concerned about our oneness, our interconnectedness, our spiritual vision, our ability to experience something divine that's beyond words, the ethereal. And so a square between the planet of reality and stability and the planet that deals with the most cosmic and undefinable qualities is a real interesting
duality.
Yeah. And it's actually a little bit more expanded because Saturn is in the sign of spirituality in Sagittarius. So it's saying, walk your talk. It's like, don't tell me all about your cosmic philosophy. Let it come through in your actions. Let this spirituality be birthed in your service. And this is interesting because the sign of Pisces, where Neptune is now, is its home sign, but it goes in complete excess sometimes with its vision and its cosmic and its ideals and fantasies and things that don't always materialize. And Saturn's like, let's bring this into the materialization. So we have this cycle, this of this square that's happened. This is the third, I think it's the third and final one. But we also in the cycle of eclipses, and eclipses make everything a little bit more intense. And so there's some light and dark confrontation between dualistic forces that gets churned during eclipses. There's a whole story in the Vedas about that I won't get into now.
And we're between eclipses right now. Right?
Yeah, and the eclipse is actually a Pisces-Virgo eclipse. The sun is in Pisces and the moon comes in Virgo in this full moon. And Virgo and Pisces always are polarized. Virgo is all about service, selfless service, organization, purification, cleansing, daily routines, very stable stuff. It's akin to Saturn, but not really. Virgo is more analyzing and organizing so that all of the values, the dreams, and the ideals that are birthed in Pisces, the most ethereal, the final sign, can actually be brought into reality in a way that will benefit others. Pisces, in its nature, has the most beautiful cosmic visions and is totally connected to spirit, but sometimes it can be deluding itself. Sometimes it can be in its fantasy realm and not getting proper perspective. So in an eclipse with Virgo and Pisces, it's a lot of, and in combination with this square, this pressure between Saturn and Neptune, it's a cycle where people need to evaluate their life and look at, I'm trying to think how many years the cycle, I forget exactly, but it's a cycle that is completion of a lot of visions and dreams that we may have had the first phase of our life or the past at least 12 years. And
so we get to see what sticks now, separate the wheat from the chaff.
Exactly.
And now by the time people hear this, it'll have already completed.
Yeah, and it's unfolding.
And they basically need to focus on the things that, what I'm hearing is that the things that have merit and are grounded and move forward with those things, even if they're like maybe more lofty or spiritual.
And here's the thing is that some people are much more Neptunian, some people much more Saturnian. And people that are very Saturn, they're going to be in the opposite end of things. They've been trying to be grounded in the material world, pushing off all the spiritual cosmic stuff because it's too airy-fairy for them. And then they're reaching this point where they go, I feel completely unfulfilled, blocked. I feel this whole system that I've been a part of is killing me and it's not nourishing, and I need some spiritual enlightenment and opening to feel that all my work is worth doing. And so
they'll go more in that direction.
They'll go in the direction of opening up because they see that, okay, being fully blocked is not making me stable in this world, because this whole paradigm, because of lack of spiritual vision, because of the integration of our vision and our materialization and our works, is the system is so off balance that it's like a breaking point. And we see this in the politics right now. There's a square between the planets of conservatism, which is Saturn, and Jupiter, which is liberal. So not just is Neptune and Saturn squaring, but Jupiter is on the other side in Virgo, in the plane of service, expanding our need for doing things that can really feel like our life works, our being able to benefit others. And so this is just a time period where we have to really watch for spiritual bypassing, a term that's really been in vogue lately, of being able to recognize there's terminologies people can have when people don't want responsibility and just go, oh yeah, we're all one. You know, there's a lot of things where people can turn to spirituality as an escapism from dealing with certain parts of our unconscious that have wounds. And instead of actually going deep and being real about some of the wounds and the pain body stuff, we can just surround it with a bubble of oneness, or we're all interconnected, or it's all temporary, or making justifications for maybe our first world privilege. There's a lot of things that we can do that aren't spiritual, but cast a certain mood, or maybe it's socially approved by the groups that we associate with, but it's not really as real and as deep as we can be. And so this is a cycle where we want to look in our own lives and be able to see, how can I achieve my maximum potential of groundedness in manifestation of my cosmic spiritual values and have them be integrated?
Well, that's what we're kind of talking about with my chart, as far as I thought that was more specific to me, but you're saying people in general are going through
people
that.
People in general are going
but
through that.
But for me, since I'm more of a, you know, kind of out there kind of person, I could benefit from grounding those things into into hard data and science.
And because you have Saturn in the first house, it gives you a serious side that gets work done and means business too. So we all have many different aspects of ourselves. An astrology chart, if it's done by someone who can actually see all the different archetypes and influences on us, they can be able to spotlight, yes, this is the area of your life where you express a very strong discipline, and these are the areas where there's some denial about these influences or this tendency. And so this is the really a truth serum when you get a astrology reading, to be able to get honest with the parts of ourselves that are not always, there's not very many people that shine the light in certain dark corners. Like the 12th house is the area of the unconscious mind, and so people generally want to push over stuff like that because that's where a lot of the pain body, the wounds are there.
Well, I've got that 12th house stuff going on, and I love to share those secrets, and I have been more inspired to share about some of the darker aspects of things that have been going on with, like we talked about, our biology being hijacked, and the fact that I just wrote this piece on ancient foods that decalcify our pineal glands.
Important work.
Which we're realizing that they should be pink, and kind of, the pineal, the seat of the soul at the center of our brain, should be pink and juicy and soft, not calcified by this fluoride that we've been taking into our bodies. And I was surprised that 10,000 people liked that article on Facebook, whereas maybe, you know, some nutritional article might get usually, you know, maybe 100 or some couple hundred hits or likes. So what you were saying is you were advising as an astrologer to go more in that direction of my inspirations, but to ground that in the reality of
with the science.
The science, yeah. I mean, which makes sense, but you're encouraging to actually go in more of those spiritual directions.
This is what's very interesting. As I've observed the cross between what's called alternative media, some call it conspiracy, there's a lot of information that doesn't make the mainstream, especially regards to the environment, the pollution. There's a lot of things where we don't really always want to know the extent of the pollution in this world, because people can go into apathy, which is unhealthy. We don't want to be in apathetic state.
Like the pipeline right now that they're not talking about on mainstream media, that Neil Young and all these tribes are showing up to stop the pipeline.
Yeah, so in my life I've learned that there's a very fine line, but we have to be able to look at, are we accepting the reality of some of the pollution environment, some of the corruption going on in politics? Are we dwelling on it, or are we diagnosing it so that we can utilize our life talents and our passion to be able to make the world a better place? And this is really, there's a strong difference between discernment and judgment. There's a difference between just talking all about the world's problems and meditating on them versus being able to assess a situation and be able to see, how can I better serve by having this understanding? And if we have a power that is within us and we don't use it because we're creating a little, the spiritual bypassing, oh, everything's fine, it's full of light, there's, you know, there's not really any dark forces, it's all one. There's certain things we tell ourselves sometimes just so that we don't have to come to terms with some of the fears that are in our unconscious mind, some of the things about our environment that are uncomfortable to look at, the things within the political system that can seem very stifling at times. So the more that we can be able to make peace with the fact that, yes, we have a lot of challenges and we have a lot of tools, we have access to so much wisdom, to so much scientific validation, whether it's being in nature, of different superfoods and tonic herbs, of things that we can utilize in our lives to become more balanced and whole and complete, and know that the more that we expand that, the more that awareness grows, and the less power that these people have to manipulate our minds and our body and resources.
Well, that is what this show is all about, and the other hosts on this United We Strike radio broadcast, live worldwide right now, and our producer, Matt Navarro, I've got to thank for, you know, bringing me into this family here. I think everyone shares that passion as well, especially one of the hosts, Vinny Eastwood, especially embodies the lighter side of genocide, he says. And so, you know, he gets all the information out about some really dark stuff, but he keeps it really light and humorous. And that's where we just need to make sure it doesn't go in the direction where it starts making us so angry. Anger can be channeled, and mm-hmm. it can be used for positive things, but if it gets us so stuck that it paralyzes us, mm-hmm. that's not healthy.
Yeah, and this is really a very fine line with many people. And just like a digestive system, people have different digestive capacity with information. There's certain people that I realize that I can maybe judge them by being in denial of certain things, but I know they know, but their work is not to really even go there. And I respect that. If someone's doing their work they're meant to do, they're aware of these things, but they don't talk about them, and they're just so focused on their positive action and what their life purpose is. And that is very empowered to be able to do that. But the problem comes in when there's denial, when people have, oh, Obama's president now, he'll fix everything, or Bernie's coming in, he's going to, you know, people have this desire to give their power away to someone who they can assume will do all the work for them. Or, oh, I just bought this really expensive supplement, now this person talked about it, now all my health challenges are gone. People are always looking for the silver bullet. You know, as much as I love Shilajit, and people are so into calling me, oh, the Shilajit guy or whatever, there's things where we realize that, yes, there's products or amazing medicines that we're empowered to share with people. But I never want to give people the idea that, oh, this is a cure-all for everything. No, this is a powerful tool. We need to learn how to use these tools right, with respect and awareness of, wow, I'm working with these amazing elements of nature. I'm empowered to share these things. And I want to learn how to be receptive of the Earth's chi directly from just receiving mana from earthing, you know?
Yeah, you can lead a horse to water. And not always do they want to drink. There's a lot of people who... especially on this United We Strike, the listeners in the family here, they're on the same page. A lot of us have challenges with discussing information, alternative information with our family members. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just I think it's important to not try to just go out and wake everybody up. People will be drawn to this information when they're ready, just like we were drawn to everything that came to us from our inner desire for truth. You know, I've said at many different times in my life, I want to know the truth. I want to know what's really going on about this or that. And then information will come to me. A book will pop off the shelf, or I'll stumble upon something on the internet. And it's like, whatever our inner knowing is of what we want, we express that desire even internally with, you know, our inner prayers, and that the world changes around us to meet us with where we're at. So where are we at right now as far as people listening to this? Is there any other aspects astrologically that are going on that people can tune in with?
Well, it's probably all for today with astrology. It's easy for people to get information overload with understanding, you know, some of the diverse forces that are at play right now. One thing that I'll just say is Mercury retrograde has a reputation of being a time where people just blame everything on Mercury retrograde, any of the things that don't work. It is a cycle that requires some adjustment to for many people. There can be little glitches within our gadgets and communication. It's, I say, a great time to fine-tune your intuition, because if there's a little glitch with our rational, intellectual, you know, perception of things, it means it's time just to be able to, you know, tune in more on our gut level instincts, you know, than assume that everything is going to go on in a linear pathway. Being able to just have more appreciation for, if we have a goal in mind, knowing that many times there's different ways to accomplish that goal instead of just the direct, straight, narrow path. So that's a, you know, in general, with eclipses and Mercury retrograde, there may be some changes that are thrown into our lives that may be challenging, but if we have that clear intention of what we are empowered to do and our goals, we can accomplish them sometimes in a less direct way that actually is much more conducive. So this is a time period where as I was saying, on a political level, on an ecological level, there's a lot of old systems breaking down. There's an old belief structures breaking down. And in that, there's some fear and insecurity, because even if we know that a lot of the things in this world are really not a healthy matrix and paradigm, there's this, what will happen next? What will, you know, if our current financial system, you know, is not operating the same way, what would take its place? And if, the more that we're both connected to ourselves as well as within our families and communities, being able to have a certain degree of self-reliance, being able to know that there's medicines in our backyard, ability to barter and become more intimate with our friends and family, seeing that we can't expect the structures that have been exploiting the planet to go on forever and ever. It's kind of an apathetic thought. And at the same time, it's it doesn't leave people who have spent their whole life serving this machine. It brings a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We've got to use the existing systems to transform. And there's a lot of great things happening on the
planet. There's a lot of great technology that is being able to be implemented to support ecological restoration. There's things with, like, mushrooms that eat plastic that Paul Stamets have brought in. There's so many things that are, like, different new technologies that can actually really help balance all these things. But it begins with our consciousness being able to keep a positive attitude, and not just a belief structure, but like, oh, things will be fine, but actually see, how can I be in my fullness of my life purpose to be able to be a part of this turning of the wave?
Yeah, I think that's a big theme on this show, you know, ask ourselves, what can we do, and do it.
Yeah.
So, Madhava, it has been great sharing this time with you. We have about 2 minutes for you to just share a little bit. If people want to get a hold of you, if you have an email or a site or something that they could maybe get some black Shili G, pure black, or maybe do an astrology reading with you something.
Yeah, the email is livingshakti@yahoo.com, LIVINGSHAKTI, and the website is actually, it was the first run of a test run product that is royalchocolate.com, and it's going to be upgraded soon, but R-A-W-Y-A-L chocolate.com is the
R-O-W
R-A
oh, R-
Royal
oh, okay. R-A-W-Y-A-L.
Yeah.
Okay, well, great.
Thanks for
Madhava
having me on.
Nanda, thank you for coming on the show. And thank you, listeners. We will just stay tuned after this show and hopefully get on another beautiful song from my beloved wife, Omra, from her new CD, Wisdom of the Ages. All right, signing off. Aloha.